powered by Riverside FM.
Hey everyone, I hope you're doing well. This was recorded back in April 2025 with Coda, and we decided to do this for fun, just to check in to see how we're doing and what we're up to. We talk about Yu-Gi-Oh cards, card hunting, and tournaments. We also talk about Bali, Australia, and parts of Japan like Nagasaki. But we also get to learn some interesting stuff about Coda that I know you're all dying to find out. This episode is about an hour long, and slight spoiler alert, my favorite part is the end, and not for reasons you'd expect. I hope you enjoy, and I really hope to do this with all of you soon as well. Thanks. Hello, Coda.
Hi, Kathleen.
How are you doing on this all Friday morning for you, Thursday evening for me?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's, is it still cold in California, or is it like mega warm?
It's been chilly the past couple of days, but I saw the 10-day forecast, and this weekend looks like it'll be really nice and sunny, just in time for Easter.
Ah. Oh. Still, it's pretty warm already. It's supposed to be like 25 degrees. I think that's like 80-something.
Yeah, that's pretty warm. That's good. That's nice weather. Have you been doing anything about weather, or are you like stuck inside with work all the time now?
I don't do anything else besides work.
See, that's what I mean when I said what I said earlier.
What did you say? What did you say, Kathleen?
That you like to get fucked. Because you're sadist. Oh. You're masochist.
For the record, I don't enjoy getting fucked at all.
You always work constantly.
Dude, equating work as getting fucked is not. I don't know what kind of line of work you do, but clearly you like to get fucked too.
Apparently. I don't. That's why I had to step down from my job. I've had enough.
5 years, so it doesn't make you that much better than I.
No. Actually, 7 years.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Yeah.
The only thing that's lasting for 7 years is literally just fucking breathing.
Oh. But do you think you might have time this weekend to just get out, or do you also work on the weekends now?
I work a little bit on the weekends, and I try to, like, take a day off on, like, a weekend, usually.
Mm-hmm. What do you usually do? Just take a walk in the neighborhood?
Oh, actually, no. I've been into Yu-Gi-Oh cards recently. Like,
oh, hey.
A lot. And I go to, like, card shops, and then I go into, like, this is sort of, like, cheap and, like, sad of me. It's like, I go to, like, these card shops, and then they have this place called a storage room. And mm-hmm. in these storage rooms, what kind of cards are there are just, like, people sell bulks of cards. And you can just go through them and then find cards that you like and buy them for 30 cents. And basically, I treasure hunt, essentially, and I try to find high-value cards that are basically more than $5, mm-hmm. and I resell them in a package, and I buy them at, like, 30 cents. I'm in the store for, like, 3 or 4 hours. It's such a bad, like, return on my hour, but, like, I can just endlessly do this. It's so much fun. But, yeah, that's what I do, Kathleen. I I don't do anything. I look for cards.
Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And you said you sell them in a package. So you get like, what, 5 cards and then you put them all together? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's different ways to go about this. So there's like some cards that are like valuable as like a collection. And mm-hmm. you sell them for like, you know, like 20 to like all the way up to like $10,000. By the way, I've never gotten a card that's worth $10,000, but
damn,
that's some of the value there. But there's that way, and then there's another way where you can create like a deck, and then mm-hmm. you can resell it for like $150. So essentially, you like people want to start the game, so they just want to buy a deck. They don't want to collect all the cards, because on average, if you wanted to get all of the pieces, it's probably going to take you like $70 to $80 if you're lucky. And without like,
without
hello.
Yeah.
Sorry, my mic blew out.
Your Temu mic.
My Temu mic blew out. Yeah, but basically, if you collect everything by yourself, one, you might not get all the cards, or two, they're like $1.80 a card. So, like, if you want like 40 of them, you're spending a good like $70 to $80 for it. Or you just won't even get the cards themselves because they're impossible to find. So you can sell them for like $120 or something like that. And then the total cost for me is like 30 cents times 40. So it's about like $12. So you get like 10x return.
Okay. Okay. And now, is there a card that you found and you were like, there's no way I'm going to give this out. I'm going to keep it for posterity's sake.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, so there's some cards that are, like, very high value. Those are usually not in the storage bins, but there are mm-hmm. cards that are, like, relatively cheap that you just purchase, right? Like, for, like, $2. Mm-hmm. I've been on a run of, like, purchasing Blue Eyes White Dragon cards.
Oh, I was going to say.
Dude, it's a disease. I have, like... I'll send like a picture, but basically, one, I have a stainless steel Blue Eyes card, which is super fucking sick, right? Because it was the cool part.
The dragon is stainless steel, or is the card stainless steel?
The card is stainless steel.
Okay.
So I can basically, because the iPhone has a magnet on the back, I could just attach a Blue Eyes White Dragon card
to my
phone.
It's whoa. So sick.
It's so fucking sick. It does not attract bitches.
It may attract some kind of bitch.
No. I do have a girlfriend now-ish.
That's right.
That. And then another thing is, like, this Blue Eyes White Dragon. There's a hologram version of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I bought it for like $50.
Wow.
It's so cool though, because you get to like stare at it and it's like holographic.
I mean, what other reason is for holographic but to stare at it, right?
Yeah, and it was like $50. It's one of the best purchases I've made in my life, man. It's so sick.
Would you ever frame it and put it on your wall?
Dude, okay, so I have been, this is the struggle about these cards, is like, I don't know how to, like, present them. Like, they're sick as fuck, right? And I mm-hmm. love these things, but I want to make it into, like, an interior piece where I can put it in my room with, like, well, first, like, I've never had shame in it ever, but, like, I mm-hmm. want it to look even cooler than it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to, like, think of a way to make these, like, an interior piece where I could put it in my room and make it kind of fancy.
And what, so framing is one, and would you put something, or it would just be the card by itself in a singular square frame?
That's what everybody else does it. I find that a little bit boring. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't look that interesting. I don't think it just holds up by itself. So there's some cards that are like they made certain editions of the card where it looks exactly like a comic book. So I'm thinking of like printing like a big piece of that frame from the comic book and then like putting the actual card in that scene.
Okay.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Okay. And I would frame that. It's like one way of doing it, or what I was kind of thinking. Recently, one of the thing or several things that like Pokemon cards are doing is like they have extended arts. So like the arts itself, the cards, the arts are really interesting on Pokemon, right? And then they that art extends into the frame itself. So maybe that might be a thing that I'll do. I don't know, but yeah,
that's like, fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
How long has this been going on, the card hunting?
It's been since last October.
Oh, so it's been a while.
Yeah, I've been consistently doing this. It's a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot of, I also play the game as well, so I go to like local tournaments and get my ass kicked and get yelled at by like veteran players for not knowing what to do.
And it's all ages, I'm assuming, this tournament.
That's what they say, but it's basically just my age. My
really?
My age. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I would have also expected like young kids also.
No, so the funny thing about Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that like Yu-Gi-Oh! Game has become so complex and like it's a very difficult game to play because of just like the different functions of the cards and different moves. So it takes a lot of like critical thinking to actually play the game.
I see.
And it's not a simple game to play, and sometimes like these like there's like some assholes that play these games that take like 15 minutes to like do their turn, and it's incredibly frustrating.
They should have like a chess thing, right? They have like a timer.
Well, like, yeah, so like there's you get 300 seconds in your turn, so that's 5 minutes, right?
Oh god, it's too long.
Yeah. But yeah, some people just take hours to this play the stupid game. So it's not really child friendly, right? Like these kids would just get super annoyed and bored, right? And then they would the way like it's so unfriendly in like Yu-Gi-Oh! Because the way the game functions, like it doesn't allow you to play the game, if that makes sense. So like in let's say like in Settlers of Catan, right, like you're trying to trade like wood with steel or something like that, right? In that sense, what Yu-Gi-Oh! Would do would be like, okay, I'm going to charge a 70% tariff on your steel every time you make a transaction. And it's like and it's like, but I'm trading wood. It's like, I don't care. There's a 70% tariff on your steel and you're gonna pay me for that wood. So basically it's just like completely ruins the game. It's like not fun at all. It's almost
enough of
like
that in real life.
It's so annoying. It's almost like masturbation in a way, because you're just playing with yourself, right? Because it's
ew.
Like, you're like putting like all these like cards on the board, and it's like, oh, look at me now. You can't like summon your card or like play a magic card, so you're just like you can't do anything. So like in a way, like it can be child unfriendly because of the pace of the game, as well as like you can't do anything.
Okay, so yeah, I have two questions for you about this Yu-Gi-Oh! Thing. First question, do you get to wear that arm brace thing where you put your cards on like they do in the anime?
No, but I should, because those things are fucking badass.
Do people wear them in the tournaments?
No. Aww. But I think, but if I had to, like, survey everyone in that like tournament, I would assure you that 100% of them would say, I would love to.
Okay. Is that not a thing? Like, they don't sell that?
No, not right now. It's actually a premium item right now. It goes for quite a lot.
Okay. That makes sense. It's such a core thing of this show. Second question that actually I completely forgot because all I can think about is how cool it would look to have that arm card brace thing. Oh, now I remember my second question. Do you ever go back to the manga or anime to make like your play style or any get any tips or tricks from the original source?
No, the it's so funny because the original source, right? So the original manga itself, when it was created, like there was no rules to it, right? Like the guy made the game in the manga. So it's like the historically speaking, like when you read the very beginning of the Yu-Gi-Oh manga, like it's just this like psychotic kid who has like a bipolar disorder or just like a schizophrenic basically, because he has like this like internal self that he can change into who becomes a badass. And it's a crazy story because the guy, like the original guy, gets bullied, so he like turns into like this other self. And then he basically kills bullies, like literally kill these kids. And like, it's like it's pretty psychotic. And the whole thing like was the manga was gonna get canceled, and then so to pivot, he started to the whole premise was like you're gonna play like a dark game, and then in this dark game, like if you lose your life kind of thing, right? Like it's like high ante. And then as that kind of like progressed during that time, Magic the Gathering was like a pretty big thing. This is like, by the way, like 95, 96 or something like that. And then so in order to copy that, like he copied that, put in a bunch of these monsters, and started to like show these like cards with these monsters, and you can battle them, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a very, very simple game. And then like they it started off with just like, oh, okay, like my attack is higher than yours, so your card is gonna die kind of thing, right? And then it was a pretty boring game, and then it started to like pick up where people were like, oh, I want that card. So the publication started to work with toy companies to print these like cards, right? And then they printed the cards, they realized it became a huge hit, a lot of sales, so they kept on pushing Yu-Gi-Oh to become more of a thing. And then it started to develop into an actual game. And then the funny part, to back to your original question about do you take sources from the manga, the funny part about the manga is because the rules weren't set back then, they could do he could, the owner, the artist would do whatever the fuck he wanted. And then like it's so funny because like he'll be like, I'm gonna activate my magic card, and you're like, you can't do that, like you literally cannot do that during that phase of that game. And then he's like, I'm gonna fusion this like magic card to my monster, and then you're like, literally nothing like that exists in the game. So
The
like
dude's just improvising as he went along, trying to meet a deadline, probably.
yeah, exactly. And then the game itself like took a life of its own, and then it became really big, and then it developed into like an actual more strategic game. So like when it comes to like the original manga or the anime, people look at it more as like, oh, like it's such a great show kind of thing. The decks that they use usually kind of suck. So the actually like the interesting thing is like the instead of us like taking inspiration to see like how do we play this tactically, the game is now adapting to the manga or the anime. When what that means is like they're incorporating the stories into the cards, so the cards now have a lore. And then right now it's like it's actually really, really cool because all these cards, right, like it's a whole universe, right? They have these characters, they have these storylines, and then across like new like card packs, you can unpack pack like these cards, and then you find out what, how the story has progressed. And one, like, couple of those stories, like, actually come from the manga, and then now the manga story is in the cards.
Wow. And I think, if I recall, because I only saw maybe like one or two episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh, but I do remember it being such a big deal, like in third grade or something, where people would buy Yu-Gi-Oh cards and then trade them around, but we don't know how to play it just because we like how cool the monsters look. Like, I think, for example, one of them was a, oh god, Kuribo?
Yeah, the
little hairball thing.
Yeah,
that was like a hit with the girls, I remember. But really? The boys, yeah, the boys really, they always liked the Blue Eyes White Dragon. That's, I mean, that's classic. That's the end all be all. But I do remember that in Yu-Gi-Oh! In the anime, they had some kind of Egyptian lore to it.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. The whole concept here was like the other me, essentially, like the schizophrenic main character has like a multi-personality disorder. I wouldn't say it's actually a disorder, but it was just kind of like the idea is like, oh, there's like another me within me. How it happens is like he solves this like puzzle, and within that puzzle he solves it. Nobody was able to solve this puzzle for like thousands of years. It was hidden in the pyramids, and then this Japanese guy basically stole it and kept it and then gave it to his grandson, and then the grandson solves the fucking puzzle. And then because it comes from the pyramid, like this like Egyptian pharaoh like exists within him. And but I think all of that was like he put that in that story because the whole game became out of control, meaning like it became a completely different thing, right? Like, as in, like, it took a life of its own, and it grew so big that the publications probably started to demand, like, a legitimate story and, like, a reason behind the whole story, basically. and then I think through the story, like, they're like, okay, like, who is this guy? Like, who is this other me? And then, like, I think the author originally always liked Egypt and the pyramids. And then, like, that he just incorporated the fact that he's a pharaoh and he had a life before, like, coming into this new world. And then they find out this like, Blue Eyes White Dragon is actually like a reincarnation of this beautiful woman, blah blah blah. It's like a whole story. But yeah, you're correct, there is a story there. And it's like it was created after the fact than anything else.
That's pretty awesome to think. Yeah, and this started all the way in October. Did someone just bring it up to you like, hey, let's play Yu-Gi-Oh? Or did you watch anime again?
No. I mean, like, I've always liked Yu-Gi-Oh! And part of it is, like, it goes back into, like, me, into, like, me getting therapy and, like, and after doing therapy, I realized that a lot of the stuff that I did was out of, like, loneliness or, like, wanting companionship in any shape or form. And then, after that, like, that kind of left me, and then I was like, oh shit, like, there's nothing that I do because I enjoy it, right? Like, I do it because I used to do it because I wanted companionship, but after that kind of went away, I was like, oh, like, I can do stuff that I just enjoy, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Was like, well, always one of those things that I loved doing. And I just kind of revisit it. And there's also an app called Master Duel on my phone. And I play it pretty religiously. I'm at like 1500 games at this point. And So that's like about 5 games per day-ish. And yeah, basically, I always liked it. I basically found myself to wanting to play again, and then there was an mm-hmm. app for it, and then I started playing, and then I was like, shit, I want the cards. And then I nice. Started getting the cards.
I like that. I like that. It came out from something, from you wanting to reach something within yourself, right? To fulfill some kind of, to fill in a gap, so to speak. But then it ended up becoming its own thing naturally, which is really cool.
I wouldn't say it was a gap. I think it was just always there. And then like, I kind of like refound it and been like, oh, yeah, like I do like this thing.
That's pretty sick.
I also have like these insane t-shirts. I'll send you pictures, but it's like a Blue Eyes. I think I showed it to you when we were together in Japan. Like it was like a Blue Eyes White Dragon t-shirt. And then I also have like I just got like a Black Magician Girl t-shirt. It has like huge tits and everything. It's an awesome piece of art.
Okay. All right.
Dude, no, it's super cool because it's actually like it's made it's embroidered. So like
3D like tits on you. Congratulations. Dude,
yo, like you say that, but it's actually a really like artisan like craft work here, man.
Yes. Tits are legit. We love tits here.
Look, that's embroidered. The only thing that you're not out of that. That's the only thing you're not out of that conversation. Jesus.
You spoke with such excitement. I had to stick with the tits to keep you happy.
Hey man, everybody likes tits.
You're a tits over ass person?
No, actually, if I'm actually going to marry someone, I'm more of like an ass person. But I think when you're younger, or like the older you get, they sag. But like butts don't sag.
They can get flat.
But they don't sag.
True. True. But you do need to keep them, you know, have a regimen to keep it perky.
Yeah. Like, you could do something about it, though. You know? Like, boobs, you have no choice, right? Like, gravity is just a harsh reality.
Yeah. And bras suck.
Yeah.
And so overexpensive.
Exactly. Like I feel like big boobs are very like it's a very zero sum game, if that makes sense.
It really is, especially if you're an athlete. Man, if you're like C cup, D cup, dude, it hurts. Just like running. You got these jugs on you. Like thankfully I don't have big boobs, right? But I feel it for them.
It's so funny because, like, boobs are, like, a zero-sum game, meaning, like in a zero-sum game, right? Like, it's, like, if people keep taking, somebody keeps losing. And, like, boobs are just, like, the prime examples of that where, like, the girls just keep getting, like, it just keeps on getting taken, right? Like, the girl basically receives almost nothing for boobs, right? Like, but the guys keep on taking from the women in a way because it's just like
we live in a patriarchy.
Dude, that's never going away because it's just like guys are like naturally attracted to them. It's just like it's just such a funny little thing.
Ugh.
Like I've never the funny part is like I've never met a girl that. Like little or big boobs that have like been like, oh yeah, like this is like my favorite part of my body. Like never.
That's very true. It's very true. They're just no fun. In fact, let me give mine to yours, to you.
I'm okay, thanks.
you can take them, and then you can cosplay as the Dark Magician Girl. There you go.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
We got it going for you. We got it going for you.
Thanks, I guess.
So besides like all, you know, going back to the Yu-Gi-Oh cards and the card hunting and then the tournaments and all this really cool stuff that I shouldn't be surprised that you're into. Has there been anything in the past like year? I can't believe we're in April, almost to May. Actually, no, we're mid-April, but it just feels like we're going through this year so quickly now. But has there been anything since January 2025 that you'd like to, share or want to let people know what you've been up to?
I don't know. Do I have anything to say?
Well, you have a girlfriend. Maybe some people don't know that, but I think her name is Riho.
No, that's a different.
Oh, that's a
That's a
girl that I met when I was in Japan. Or not
Did
met,
you meet
but
her?
like, no, I didn't meet
Did
her,
you?
but you were talking about her.
Yeah, that was a different girl.
Okay.
Wow, way to ruin it, Kathleen.
Oh well. Well, you fuck around. So what do I know? I don't know. I just know you fuck around. You have an incredible libido that I wish I didn't know about.
Okay, wait, can I actually talk about that? Dude, so one of the craziest part about my life has just been about like therapy and the fact that after I got therapy, my libido has basically just disappeared.
Oh my God. Thank
Isn't
you,
that
CODIS
great?
therapist. Incredible. Wow.
Dude, I've done nothing to you. Why are you offended by like anyone that's been associated with me?
I just feel for the girls,
What? I was gonna say like, who do you even know that's been damaged by me? And I was like, oh, you know what? We don't need to get into this, actually.
Good thing you caught yourself.
I'm like, what is there to share? I see that's the my I have difficulty sharing, not because it's like I don't want to share, but I think it's more just that I don't know what is meant to be shared, if that makes sense. It's like, oh, like this part of me is like I talk about it, but it's like, oh, like I don't know if this is something that anybody wants to hear about or anything, you know.
I guess so. But you did share about your libido, and I don't think anyone wanted to know about that.
Well, I figured it would be kind of funny, so I my general direction of life is like, is this funny or is this not funny? Which is, by the way, a terrible direction to take, but
Yes, because your whole life is.
was like,
You set
will this
yourself
be,
up for that.
dude, bro? So many things are just like, I don't know why I do this. Like, oh my God, life is like, I just keep on taking the harder road. And I'm just like, why do I keep doing this to myself?
See, we're reverting back full circle because you like to get fucked. It all goes back to that, and I'm right.
I refuse.
I
I
know you
refuse.
better than you.
You know, I used to not believe that statement, and then like, I had a chance to read over some texts before. From some people, and they had these like things that they were telling me. They were like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like it was very quaint, and then it was like it hit the nail on the head, but it was like way too ahead of its time for me. So you know, I you're right. You probably do know me better than I do, because I'm just I just choose to ignore these things about myself.
Just know that you like to get fucked. End of story. That's it.
Thanks, thanks. That's me. That's
I'll plant my
in a
flag
nutshell.
on the literally Yamazaki mountain.
Yeah, I don't know what to share about my 2025 life.
I mean, still pretty early.
I did go to Australia. That was cool.
Oh, wow.
I went to Indonesia for the first time, too.
Oh, where at? Where to? In Indo?
Bali.
Okay.
Against my own will. But yeah, it was for a company retreat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm probably one of the only people that's like, I want to fucking go to Bali.
You don't? Is it because it's too touristy?
Have you been to Bali before?
I have family in Bali.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
My cousins and my aunt, or my aunts live there. She has a restaurant.
Aren't you Cambodian? I thought you were Cambodian, not Indonesian.
I'm Chinese-Indonesian. Bro.
What?
Cambodian? That is so Japanese of you.
I don't know what that means, but wait, shit. You were... Oh, God. Okay.
I feel so betrayed.
Wait, where are you from in Indonesia?
Well, my family is from West Java.
Mm.
But I have my aunts and my cousins who moved to Bali and opened a restaurant there in Kuta, wow. Kuta Beach.
Wait, did you say you've been or?
I have been, yeah.
Yeah. One, I don't like humid places.
Mm-hmm. Fair. So, like, totally fair.
I'm doomed from the beginning. What I enjoyed about Bali was the fruits. Like, it was so cheap and so delicious. All I was doing was just eating fruits every fucking day. Like,
nice.
The food was, Indonesian food. Ah, what do you call those ridiculously spicy sauces?
Like, they put jalapeno.
They put those on, those fried chickens and everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love that. It was so delicious. I think it's, it's, vinegar and fish sauce, I think, maybe? And shallots? Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. There's different types of sambals that you can make, that you can have and make. My mom makes her own sambal here. But, yeah, you can put shallots and garlic, usually with chili peppers, like the Thai chili peppers.
Yeah,
that's the one that we make at home here.
It's so spicy.
It's so good. It adds flavor.
Yeah, it's really good. I really like that. It was my favorite thing to eat, which was like the sambal and like the fried chicken with like rice. That was the thing that I was just eating the whole time. I was like, I want more of that. and then there wasn't a lot of vegetables, so I was just like eating fruits instead of vegetables for that.
That's good. And fruit is good, especially in a humid place, because you're sweating all the time just to keep you hydrated.
Yeah, yeah. And then they had like really good acai bowls, but I think that's because of the Australians there.
There are a lot of Australian expats in Bali.
In Asia.
Yeah, in Asia in general. But Southeast Asia, to be more specific. Because they're just so close there. White people can't help themselves.
Yeah. So. It wasn't my favorite place because just the lack of infrastructure in the country.
Like,
how is there no signals here? It's crazy.
It's, it is a developing country, so.
Yeah, yeah.
And traffic, I assume, was really bad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining. I just figured, but, yeah, the entire country was, or not the entire country, the entire area of Bali was very tourist-driven. And it felt like there was more tourists than infrastructure available. So, like, it feels like the whole country or the whole Bali area grew economically way too quickly. And mm-hmm. then, like, it just hasn't sustained its, like, or it hasn't been able to develop as quickly as, like, how people have come in, essentially. I thought the beaches would be cleaner.
It's not.
It's disgusting.
It's not. It is so not. I thought the same when I visited back in like 2013. I was so disappointed.
Like, so many people in Japan are like, oh, I love Bali. It's such a great, beautiful place. And I can let go of, like, the infrastructure and the shitty roads and, like, disgusting things happening. But it was like I went to the beach. I was like, this is not that great.
It's not. It's okay. However, I don't know if you went, but you can go up to the mountains, like in a lush jungle area, and the villas there. And my parents and my brother went back in 2019, and that's when I hurt my foot. So I couldn't go travel with them, but my brother, my parents, and my extended family, they all rented out a villa there in a lush area, and that was beautiful.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. I keep hearing that, though. People are like, dude, if you're going to do Bali, right, you should go into, like, those really nice villas or, like, mm-hmm. like a nice hotel and, like, spend your time there, and it's, like, a much better time. Mm-hmm. But to be quite honest, I don't think I'm going to go back. Like,
not your cup of tea.
It was just not my cup of tea. I think I'm going to go to like Thailand first because I mm-hmm. like Thai food. Or I think the next Southeast Asian country I want to go to is like Vietnam. Just because I like the food there. And mm-hmm. I keep hearing really good things about the place. I don't have high expectations, but I just love my orientation on traveling is usually just food and chilling. So it's just mm-hmm. like I want good food.
Yeah.
But
I think Vietnam and Thailand are two awesome choices.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'll go, though. I don't have a high motivation. If I'm going to spend money on like traveling, when you go to Europe, you know, or America.
True. Very true. Well, on the plus side, like Southeast Asia is generally much cheaper.
Yeah, it is. It is, indeed. Yeah, true. But on the contrary, I loved Australia. Have you been to Australia?
No, and I'm easily freaked out by the bugs I hear about that place.
So that's, like, overblown. Unless you go to, like, the jungles,
mm-hmm.
like Blue Mountains, you'll never see those.
Okay.
I didn't encounter a single one. I was there for like a week or a week and a half.
You were in a city area, like Melbourne or Sydney.
I was in Sydney and I went to Brisbane. So if you don't leave those like main city areas, it won't be awful. I think mm-hmm. like what it felt like was the West Coast of America. Like
LA, Arizona, Vegas?
No. More like Seattle, LA, San Francisco, San Jose, San Diego.
Weather-wise or infrastructure-wise?
Both.
Okay. Wow.
Like, I feel like what Australia, like coastal Australia is what West Coast America wanted to be. Like, it's very metropolitan. It's very clean. There's no mm-hmm. homeless people. I mean, like, there's few, but much, much fewer than like the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Very like melting pot. There's so many different types of people there. I was mm-hmm. blown away. Like, because if you think about it, they're exactly the midpoint of the world from like Europe, Africa, Asia. So a lot of people from like France, England, Singapore, China, Korea, Japan, India, all these people come to Australia to like work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's less feuds there about racial problems, and there's no gun violence and no homeless problems, very mm-hmm. good economy. It just felt like what California aspires to be, essentially.
Maybe, well, who knows with the state of our country and if California is ever able to secede, if it could get to that point. But I'm not going to go down that road.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think, I don't think California being in the United States is the problem. I think California's legislation is probably the problem, but yeah. But it was really nice. Australia was really nice. The thing that I didn't think I was going to struggle with was like listening to English.
Mm-hmm.
First off, people were like, you have a weird accent. And I'm like, right. That's right. I forgot. And it, because it's a melting pot, there's so many different types of people. Like, Indian accents, Australian accents, British accents. There's so many things happening, and within Australia, there's different intonations that it's quite difficult to actually like listen to,
mm-hmm.
And understand. Like I had to like process it, if that makes sense. Like I had to mm-hmm. like think about what they were saying instead of just automatically responding. Just like how we're doing right now.
If it was there an accent that you liked more than the other?
No, not necessarily. It was just hard to process the language at times. I just couldn't hear it. Or like the certain words were hard to pick up because of mm-hmm. just the way they pronounce it as different. There's no accent that I particularly... I think I lean towards, like, British accents more than, like... And even then, like, British accents, I'm thinking of, like, posh British accent and not, like, rural... Not, like, outer London or outer British accents. Mm-hmm. I think the TV ones that we listen to are usually posh British accents, but, yeah.
How was the food in Australia?
Good. Really good. Really good seafood. Really good beef and chicken. It's because the weather's like California. There's a lot of like good ingredients there. I really enjoyed the food there.
Nice. What's the recommendation?
For what?
Australia. If I go to Australia, what do you recommend?
I don't know.
Is there like an Australian food? Oh, there's Vegemite, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. I've had a Vegemite. It's like, it's very, have you had Vegemite?
No, I have not.
Do you like fermented food?
No, I do not.
Okay, then you probably won't like it. It's like, okay. It's very salty, first off.
Oh, boy.
And it's like, it's almost like if you fermented seaweed, it's probably like natto. Do you mm-hmm. like natto?
Not really.
Yeah, yeah. It's like in that direction, and it's a mm-hmm. lot more salty. I don't get it. Australians love that thing. Like, I've not met a single Australian that's like, oh my, like, this is the shit. Like, none of them has been like, it's disgusting. They're like, Matt, you gotta have some of this by my. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
yeah, it's okay. I'm not a huge fan. I can understand it, but I don't really prescribe to it.
Besides Australia and Bali, any other trips
in the past? I've gone around a lot of Japan.
Okay.
I went to
you
like,
snowboard, right? Every winter?
Yeah, I haven't this year because of my hips. I injured myself pretty bad. And I've been fixing that for like a year. So hopefully this year I'll go, but I haven't gone. Last season, it really sucked. I really wanted to go. But instead of going up north for snowboarding this time around, I went down south for hot springs. I went to Nagasaki, and it was I really liked Nagasaki because it was really, really weird. So if you go to anywhere in Japan, most of the cities are going to look practically similar to each other. So, like, I think Osaka is now looking a lot like Tokyo just because of the sheer size and the population increase and the business opportunities there. So I would say, like, Osaka and Tokyo are probably, like, tier zero cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Kyoto is an exception because that place is just historically so rich and it's a different type of infrastructure that's built around that city. But if you go to, like, places like Nagoya or Hiroshima or Oita or Kumamoto, like, it pretty much looks the same. There's going to be minor differences, but if you go outside of the city, most of the stuff is just going to be pretty much the same thing. The interesting thing about Nagasaki was, one, it was dirty. And I found that to be very interesting because nowhere in Japan is dirty. And it was very weird because 2 minutes of driving, you're like, oh, like, this kind of looks like San Francisco. And then 2 minutes of driving, you're like, oh, this actually kind of looks like Barcelona. And then, like, 2 minutes of other driving, you're like, oh, this looks like Tokyo. And then, like, another driving, and you're like, oh, this looks like France. So it's like, it's a very weird city because, one, they put it in a coastal area that has, like, a lot of, like cliffs. And it's a very tight spot, so everything is very tight and small. And it's a place where they put the main port to have conversations with in with other countries. So back in, like, the 1700s, 1800s, Nagasaki was the main port for foreign countries to go in and discuss business. So I think there's a heavy influence there by, like, the buildings and the people who live there come from, like, other countries, from Britain, Portugal, Singapore, and America, that I think it, like, brought in a different vibe specifically only for Nagasaki that you really can't experience in Japan. Now, would I find it, would you find it interesting? It's kind of a question mark because it kind of feels like San Francisco in a way. So I don't know if it'll be interesting for Californians, but it was definitely interesting for me living in Japan and seeing all of these different cities. It had a very distinct vibe to that place.
Interesting. So it felt like a non-Japanese city.
Yeah.
And you went there for the hot springs.
I wanted to go to, so I love Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, which is basically the biggest military industry in Japan, and I wanted to see their guns and shit. Then they closed it off from the public, which I was sad about.
Probably for good reason.
Correct. But the cool thing was, like, they had this enormous brand new stealth battleship, and I was like, that's so fucking cool. But yeah, I wanted to go because I wanted to see what Nagasaki was like, because it also got bombed by the
atomic bomb.
Correct. And very interesting history there. Part of the reason why Nagasaki isn't talked about a lot is because, like, when they dropped the bomb, they didn't have a good view, so they missed. And that's part of, like, the Japanese, like, land lore is, like, oh, like, it wasn't as bad because the gods protected the land, kind of thing.
Are there a lot of shrines there because of that?
No, there's actually less shrines in Nagasaki just because, or the Nagasaki city, just because it's, like, there's also a lot of churches in Nagasaki because of, like, the Portuguese influence and all that stuff.
I see.
So you'll see less of that. But I was always curious of the city for sure. And I just wanted to make a point to go to it. And I was very pleasantly surprised by the whole area. It was a real cool place to go.
And then awesome.
One of my favorite things to eat there was they have these like small oysters. So you know how oysters, they're probably like the size of your palm, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have these oysters that were the size of maybe like a quarter. And what they do is they put it in like Tabasco and like vinegar, and you could just slurp like 10 like oysters at once.
Wow.
If you like oysters, it's really delicious and very Nagasaki. So that was like a good experience. I really enjoyed Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. You went there for the hot springs, or you didn't? You just went there just to see the stealth battleship.
Yeah, essentially. And also I wanted to know the history and what it was like. I didn't really have an expectation. They don't really have a lot of hot springs there.
Mm-hmm. How far away is it from Tokyo?
It's like, I went from Fukuoka.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a 2-hour drive. So it was like hour and a half plane and a 2-hour drive. I think if you just fly there, it's usually just like an hour and a half plane ride. Yeah, I'd recommend it. It was cool. They also
for the churches that you mentioned, because you cannot take the Catholic out of the girl.
Yeah, yeah, you should. I mean, the one of the most, I was like, fuck, it was $20 to enter, and I was like, fuck you guys. Like, I'm not paying $20.
It's a Catholic church, man.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not paying $20 for capital G God. Fuck you guys. Never.
That must have been like a cathedral or something, like a missionary.
Yeah, it's a missionary. I would not call it a cathedral. It's too skimpy for that, I think.
Definitely missionary then.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's something that you're looking forward to about for the rest of the year, or maybe getting into summer? Spring, summer, winter. I skipped fall.
Yeah, I mean, there's no fall recently because of global warming, but...
Yeah.
What am I looking forward to? I don't know.
Well, staying alive is a great reason.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really think about the future much.
Mm-hmm. Take it day by day, moment by moment.
Yeah, I realize that it's like too much effort to think about the future, because it's like very uncontrollable. And then like, yeah, the more you think about it, the more it becomes anxiety and the meaningless it becomes. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just stopped thinking about the future recently. I just don't know. I can tell you what I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like this weekend, I'm going to go to like a... Dude, I've been going to a lot of Sentos, which is like hot springs-ish. Like they're just like public baths.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite places to go. It's just like, it's such a defenseless place to go, you know?
Yeah.
Get butt naked. Everyone's butt naked and they're all there to just clean yourself. And you get to like kind of like see all sorts of people. There's like yakuzas there. There's like corporate people. There's like grandpas. There's kids. It's just a nice community little thing, I feel like. And everyone's just there to clean their body and just chill out in like a really nice warm body of water. Yeah, I've been going to a lot of those, and I think I'm looking forward to going to more of those.
Sounds soothing. You're entering your uncle stage, your uncle era.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always liked hot springs and Sentos since I was a kid. I mean, that's why I don't have tattoos. It's literally because I can't enter Sentos if I got tattoos.
Mm-hmm. And people who do, they have to cover it, right?
No, they can't enter. They literally cannot enter.
Oh, but Yakuza can go in? Hello? Well, it looks like Koda left me. And, well, hopefully there's no earthquake in Japan. Hopefully he's okay. Or maybe is Timu, Mike. Oh. He sent me a text and said that his mic died. I wonder if he can still hear me. Well, I guess that's it. We reached the hour mark. Koda's mic has died. Guess we'll never find out what else is going on for him besides going to the hot springs, seeing naked men, dudes, you know, seeing their butts everywhere. You know, good for him. Really happy for him. Really happy he's going to Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments. Really, you know, finding out that he's an ass over tits guy. You know, great stuff. Great stuff. Well, I'll probably produce this and post it. Sorry, I'll post it for the next ISIC. Did I say ISIC? ASIC. I don't even know how you pronounce it anymore, but I'll post it up and maybe I'll reach out to one of you guys and then we can have this conversation too. And thanks to Koda for this idea. And honestly, still freaking funny that his mic died. So on brand. All right, I'll catch you guys later. Bye-bye.